Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, welcome back to Carolla Classics. We have some more great clips lined up for you. First off, I want to remind everybody, Adam will be live in Brea taping his next couple of specials, Truth Yeller. We got TJ Miller on the early show, so make sure to come check it out. Once again, that's Brea Improv, December 15th. Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com. All right, this next clip, this one's a new one, Gio. We actually had a guest of the show write into us and request a clip that he was on. So
yeah, I hope this happens more often.
I do too. So this is Doug Laux. He was on the show in April of 2016. He is a former CIA operative, basically a spy, and he's done some incredible stuff overseas. And he was on the show talking about it, and he wrote in. What'd he write?
Well, didn't Dawson narrate his book as well, Left of Boom?
Oh yeah, that's right.
So Dawson and him are connected. You and him are connected. I'm the only guy he's not emailing. He wrote in, Chris, I was listening to the last Carolla Classics and was reminded of a pretty epic rant Adam went on during our conversation. When I was your guest, when he goes off about how the U.S. should just park an Abrams tank in our enemy's courtyard and say, there, do something, throw a punch, you pussies. And I say something like, yes, that. This is not as an option, but ... That's exactly how it goes. Doug was right. It's a hilarious clip. It's a funny rant. It's not practical. It's also just a good rant. It's Adam Carolla Show 1811, featuring Doug. Dave Portnoy was also in this episode, not in this portion. I think we've played that before. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. It's from April of 2016. I hope you guys enjoy this clip, and I hope we hear Doug back on the show very soon.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, get it on. Notice you were a little nervous about doing the whole no swearing thing on some days, but I just wanted to say, if anyone gives you any hard time about that, F them. F them right in the A with a BBC. Love you guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Doug Laux, am I saying that right?
Yep.
Doug Laux in studio. He's got a book out. You can find that Ben Folds song, Brian or Gary right. Or somebody. The F and the A thing made me laugh. The book, Left a Boom, How a Young CIA Case Officer Penetrated the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Is that you, Doug?
Yeah, that'd be me. Yeah.
How did you penetrate? Yeah, lean right up on that mic,
sure.
Doug. So when does it all start for you?
Well, it would have started right out of college, actually, is when I joined the CIA. And then it takes a few years. You notice that on the book title it says case officer. Some people may not be familiar with that term. In Hollywood, they call it an agent, right? Basically, those are your spies. Those are the people in the field. A field operative. The New York Times called me a grunt, so a field grunt.
What is, by the way, it's available on Amazon as we speak, and if you bookmark us and click through us, then it's going to be win-win for Doug and ourselves. What's the vetting process that the CIA does for guys like you out of college? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Indiana University.
And you get out of college and you go to them, right?
No, actually, they came to the universities. It's a big push now.
To recruit.
Yep. So they had a recruiter, and he came, and then he gave this big, long speech. And then you're like, oh, great, I got my resume, and everybody's all excited. And he's like, and now go apply online. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, great, did we really need you to come here to tell us that?
And for you, I mean, obviously, they don't want a criminal background or DUIs, drug busts, like things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I guess what can you get by with versus can't get by with? I mean, what are they looking for? What will they, if you had a DUI, will they go, okay, you had a DUI, but if you were expelled for disciplinary issues or mm-hmm. something, maybe that's different to them. Or is it just you can't get away with anything?
It's pretty tough, yeah. It's pretty much you can't get away with anything. At least it used to be. And especially when I was applying in 2005, it was, if you even smoked marijuana back then, right. It was like a 9-year stand down or something like that. thankfully, I was in a frat, still never smoked marijuana because I thought it might always be something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I stayed on the straight and narrow, whereas I was probably the only guy in my entire frat who was even eligible to apply to the CIA. In the long run, it is very stringent, and they do a super deep dive on you to make sure that you don't have any criminal background or history.
So now you pass that first vetting hurdle, and now what's next?
So that can take a different amount of time. Like I said, I'm from the Midwest. So for me, they were having to vet me on cow farms. Okay, so mm-hmm. they're pulling up in big black SUVs on my buddies who are milking cows going, huh? You know, just, I mean, literally like you would see in the movies. So they're calling me going, hey, why did a lady in a suit come with a pistol and interview me while I was milking cows? And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's something with, like, TSA or something. I don't know. So,
are they telling you not to talk about this process while it's going on?
Absolutely. You're not supposed to talk about it. But then at the same time, consider I got my buddy who's a cow farmer and all my other buddies who are farmers going, well, what is this? So right. That is the initial time when I first started to have to make up the lies to defend my own cover.
And then once you get into the CIA, how do they decide, or do you decide, which branch and what duties you'll be performing?
Well, as far as the title itself, a case officer, that was something I selected ahead of time and something I was recruited for. So mm-hmm. in the initial vetting process, they determine, okay, should this guy be a guy who works at headquarters, or is this a guy we could use in the field? And if we use him in the field, to what capacity? Could he be a field operative? So the case officer is kind of like the guy who flies the jet. If I were in the Air Force or something like that.
So you want to go where the action is.
Absolutely.
So after all the training, and please tell me you had one of those Point Break type things where the senior guy goes, young, dumb, and full of cum. We got a blue plate special. No, blue flame special here,
got
folks.
A blue flame? Sir, I take the skin off chicken.
He actually just went, give me two.
So you go do all your training, and then it comes time to do what? Like, when do you see your first terrorist?
Okay, so after the training, keep in mind there was also a year of Pashto training, which is the southern dialect that the Taliban speaks. You were speaking mm-hmm. about knowing languages beforehand. They had been the pragmatism to give me that language, which I studied for a year. So then, after knowing that, it was now deploy to southern Afghanistan. And
in a year,
people.
Can you learn a language that's that foreign without feeling like you're stumbling through it? Or do they give you some sort of background,
full
which
immersion.
Is you were born in, you know, the UK or something, mm-hmm. but you moved here when you were 19 and you've been trying to learn? Or yeah. They work that end of it?
Yeah, it's really tough because consider if it was Arabic or something like that or Chinese, yes, there could be an immersion. But how are we going to do something immersive in southern Afghanistan? You can't without getting there. So you do the best you can. You study your ass off. You get your, on a scale of 1 to 5, you want to at least land in the 3 area before you go out there, which is considered fluency. I got there, to be honest, in the south, the dialect was different than what they had taught me. So it was a steep learning curve again. But, you know, I just stuck my nose to the grindstone and said, I'm going to master this. And I did. And after 2 years there, it really paid off, which I write about in the book.
Mm. So when you were before, you're working out like in the fields, like a farmer and stuff. Be fun to go to the place that sells fertilizer and just go in with that accent. Oh, and then drop it and go, oh, sorry. Anyway,
what I meant
let's
was,
talk about, I got this Ryder truck out here. Anyway, I need all you got.
Give me it all.
And don't worry about the weird accent and dialect I gave you a second ago. So,
how about those Rams?
With these countries, and I was watching real time last night, a little bit late to the party, but we were traveling over the weekend, but I was watching him talk to his lead guest about the Saudi family and about, you know, our so-called allies, you know what I mean? And it's like, these are allies? Like, what these people we call allies, like if you look up the definition of ally, this is not mm-hmm. it. I know we tolerate a lot of countries, but do we have to be besties with them, and do we have to drop off so much cash, and what can we do? I mean, and you've seen a group that, and don't let me put any words in your mouth, but also don't disagree with me if I'm dead wrong. I've always felt like everybody in that region can be broken up into two groups. People that hate our guts and are going to do something about it, and people that hate our guts and are going to sit back and watch to people who are going to do something about it. But there are no real fans in there. It's basically an entire Oakland Coliseum filled with Raider fans. We're sitting there wearing a, let's say, what?
Kansas City Chiefs?
Let's say we're wearing a Chiefs jersey.
Think of a division rival.
The stadium is 10% of them are jumping on us and throwing elbows and knees, and the other 90% is hanging back with a beer, kind of enjoying what's going on. But not really wanting to be
tacit approval.
Wanting to be arrested or photographed next to this guy who's Kansas City Chiefs fan who's being bloodied, but sitting back.
Yeah. Not
pulling anyone off and saying this is wrong. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of what you could take that region and break it down into with my Coliseum-esque metaphor?
Yes, and. I would agree with you. I would say that it's not quite that everyone hates us, but I would say, absolutely, where are the people going, get off of that guy? What are you doing? We don't behave like that. Why are you attacking him? You're making our fans look bad. You're making our team look bad.
Right.
You're making our country look bad doing this.
Right. So when the ex-sheriff from the Burbank Police Department forwards an email that makes a joke about Muslims, everyone's out of the woodwork, and everyone has got their panties in a bunch, and they want to sit down, and it's time to have a dialogue, and we need to discuss this because he's outraged, and they're outraged, and the leader of this Muslim group is outraged, and this is a big deal. I don't see them as outraged or demanding sit-downs or what have you when things go the other way. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they like carnage. I'm just saying, like, where's the part where the quote-unquote leaders of this group are outraged and demand a sit-down with the folks that are committing the atrocities.
Yeah, I think one of the things that they keep in the back of their mind, and also like you see in the media, is they're scared to do that.
Of course!
You know, I mean, they're terrified that they know, okay, yeah, I'm a congressional leader or a parliamentarian in this country, but if I stand up and go, hey, you know what? Don't do that. You're making our team look bad. Then he's going to have those 10% that do the bad things standing at his front gate when he pulls in that night. So better for him just to not say anything at all.
It's basically like, hey, go ahead and dip Jesus in urine and take a picture of that and put it up at the Getty. That's fine, but don't draw a picture of Allah. And why? Well, it's a double standard. One gets you killed, the other might get you some protests or whatever. And then all the assholes on the left are like, oh, no. They threatened. There were a lot of people threatening. A lot of people threatened. I don't know if it was Mapplethorpe or whoever it was, but there's a lot. There were some. There were death threats. There were some whatever. Okay, assholes. Would you rather be threatened with violence but never have anything happen? Or would you rather somebody come into your studio / newspaper, a magazine, and slaughter you and your employees?
First option.
What would you rather? What would you rather? So don't give me the, hey, this could have happened, or this. Yeah, it didn't happen. So shut up, pussies. Jesus Christ. That's really your, hey, he threatened this. Yeah. He threatened that. Yeah. But then no one does anything.
It's pretty clear difference.
But they go do things, and that's different. And nobody wants to end up that way. Yes.
I have a question that's a little off the subject, but it sounds like you are around the right place at the right time, so I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts. On this last season of Serial, they focused on Bo Bergdahl.
Sure.
And, you know, it was interesting because they talked a lot about the details of what happened and what might have been going on in his head, but it really didn't clear a lot up. Mm-hmm. So were you sort of around or dealing with that in any capacity at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. That was on everybody's radar. I mean, he's the one American POW at the time. So everyone, I mean, that is at the forefront. Everyone cared extremely. Let me say this, though. Man, Mark Boll, congratulations, and Serial, congratulations, because I will tell you, and a lot of military guys I know, SF dudes, ST6 bubbas, all the way, and I'm not speaking for all of them, but I'll speak for myself. I was like, Bo Bergdahl, screw that guy. Screw him. He ruined my day, poo-pooed on my platter, and I had to focus all this time on him. I listened to that podcast, and I was like, time served. time frickin' served, man. He's whipped with cables for 4 years straight, and I know the Taliban personally, and I know they will do that stuff. They're horrible. So for me, if he endured that for 4 years, brother, time served.
Is are the Taliban guys? And I want to know a little. I want to go back to Bo in a second. What happened? But are the Taliban guys just a horrible, horrible combination of just stump dumb and zealot religious? Like, but that's a bad. You know, if you can be,
it's dangerous.
You know, you can be like it's sort of like, you know, Ben Carson is smart and stupid religious, mm-hmm. but it's not, he's not going right. on a killing
it's
spree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a surgeon. Right. There's some science in there. Like the combo of being just dumb as a stump, zero education, and then crazily religious feels like the combination. That's the blow yourself up combination. If any other thing is, well, he's insanely religious, but he also has a very high IQ, or he's wildly educated, it'll balance things out a little bit. Are those guys just dumber than hell?
Okay, so it goes twofold, and I'll answer that religion question for you as well, because I think it's very important. I think it's often misconfused, or it's misconstrued. Dumb as hell. Yes, a lot of them are uneducated. The literacy rate is 23% in Afghanistan. It's one of the lowest in the world.
So that's almost half.
Yeah. So, yes, almost. A lot of the fighters and a lot of the people that are blowing themselves up are very uneducated. So, yes, I'll agree to that. As far as religious, that is something that, and yes, I realize the word Talib means religious student, and it's the Taliban, which means religious students. However, when it came to the brass tacks, you got to remember first, they are Pashtuns first, and they believe in a code, a warrior code called Pashtunwali, and it supersedes everything. And so religion goes out the window when you step on their Pashtunwali, meaning you're encroaching on their territory or their women. Now, a lot of the Pashtunwali can sometimes bleed into some of the extreme Islam that you see with regards to women or territory or property. However, that was my goal, to find the guys who really didn't care that much about religion. They cared about Pashtunwali and who were relatively smart. And let me tell you, there's a guy specifically who was the key. He was the linchpin to the entire Wolverine network. He was my main source or snitch, you would say, if you were in the FBI.
Love Red Dawn. Right with you.
He was very intelligent. And
oh, yeah. I feel like there's always one, you know, Bill Belichick in there, and then a whole bunch of Gronkowskis running around.
I know what you mean.
But so why did we let Wolverine go, or why did we let the guy who was making the improvised explosives go after a month?
He promised not to do it again.
Scout's honor.
He said, fingers crossed.
Right.
Well, what happened was he was apprehended in a foreign country based on the information that my team provided. And then that foreign country decided, maybe not so much. And a lot of that you see in the book, I left in the redactions, meaning the black bars. I left those in so you guys can read between the lines or kind of figure out what you think's really going on there. But, you know, the CIA reviewed it. I understand that. I respect that. I still love the CIA, so it is what it is.
I don't get it's my sort of either Roman Polanski or guy took out his family with a machete, and then he fled across the border from Texas, and now he's in Mexico. Whether it's French or Mexicans, where they go like, hey, we're not going to extradite this guy if you're going to give him the death penalty, so you just can't have him. Why we don't go, hey, listen, we'll come by tomorrow when you guys are pretty hungover from drinking on a weeknight, and we'll just show up with not our army, because we don't want to waste their time. We'll take a couple of merchant marines and some National Guards and maybe...
And Doug Locks.
Yeah, and Doug... And we'll just go over there and take the guy. And if you don't like it, go F yourself. Like, what, by the way, what are you going to do? Not send over any more folks to send flowers on Forest Lawn Drive and screw up our economy? Yeah. Like, what are you going to do to us? Not dig another tunnel? Like, what are you going to do to us?
We'll just send thousands of people across a week, but you can't send this one guy?
Yeah. And this one guy took a bunch of heads off with a machete on our soil, so we're just going to go ahead and grab him, we'll take him, and then whatever we do with him, by the way, that'll be our goddamn business. Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. And Roman Polanski did whatever he did with a roofie and a hot tub and a quaalude and a 14-year-old. Hey, France, we're just going to come gather him up and bring him over here. Well, or we could just do it by force, and based on history, I don't think that's going to end up really good for you guys, considering all the cowering you do when wars break out. So what is it with these countries where we can't simply dictate to them, yeah, I know he was on this side of this random stripe in the desert and technically on your soil, but go F yourself. We don't care. And if you don't like it, go ahead. Look, throw a punch. Go do something. With what? The outdated crap that Russia, sloppy seconds, Russia left. Russia got tired with their MiG half that they built in the 14th century, and they just dropped their chunk off with you. Have fun with us and our Raptors, you assholes. Why don't we do that?
Awesome.
Adam made good secretary.
So you said something like that, right? Yeah.
I just go, cool. What you're talking about is called extraordinary rendition, which has been abolished. But, hey, it's newsworthy now because Italy recently, in absentia, filed charges against 28 CIA officers for extraordinary rendition that took place in Milan, I think, in 2004. There is a current CIA officer living in, I believe, Portugal or somewhere in Europe right now who is facing actually being extradited by that European country to Italy under those charges right now. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, hey, get the heck out of Europe. Get back to the United States where we can protect you. But that's part of it, too. If they decide, okay, we're going to file these charges in absentia because of the crimes you committed in our country. If you ever travel outside of the United States again, another country could actually extradite you to that country that filed those charges. So you have to be really content with never leaving the United States. I could be content with that. I think I've kind of shot myself in the foot with ever returning to the Middle East, that's for sure. But, you know, that's what you're dealing with. And I will say also, and you're right, I guess who really cares in the long term, but it does really, really exacerbate the problem in terms of information and intelligence sharing when you pee on the face of another country and do render somebody like that. Because, man, they take that extremely seriously. And
right,
the UBL
because,
raid,
because
boom,
they have.
Huge.
Is it safe to say that most of those backwards countries? Look, the people I know that are the people in our. I don't even know them, thankfully. The people that are doing the worst in our society, that have the worst people you can think of, have the most pride. I don't know where it comes from, but they've manufactured pride. Like, don't you disrespect me. No smart person's ever said, don't disrespect me, or this person disrespect me. I've never said it in my life, but somehow people living in refrigerator boxes scream, don't you disrespect me. Is a lot of this stuff just misplaced? Like, you can't disrespect them because they have nothing else. But their pride, but their ego?
Yeah, I think, well, you got two things playing into it. You got the global war on terror. Certainly, there's that. And you have a lot of supplies coming in from some of these countries that you're talking about. Keep in mind, Afghanistan is landlocked. Okay, mm-hmm. So we do need them as allies to supply our troops. So that's a huge thing. And as far as it goes as well, there is a lot of politics and there's a lot of outside factors that go into influencing the CIA and how it behaves, whether it's from the White House, Congress, Senate, what have you, that can really influence operations, whether it's for the better or for the good. You know, Doug Laux can go ahead and be at the darkest, blackest site trying to do something, and I can get a cable coming in saying, stop, halt, now, don't ever do that again. And I'm going, why? Isn't this what I was trained to do? Maybe, but you're not going to do it anymore. Well, why? Don't worry about the why. We're telling you no. And that's just how it can work sometimes.
Krull Classics is brought to you by Geico, because if you own or rent, then of course it's a lot of work, but let's make it easy for you, especially during this holiday season, by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a great thing because you already got so much going on right now. So this is what you do. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
It's Geico easy, Chris.
It sure is. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. That clip from April of 2016 featuring Doug Laux.
Requested by Doug Laux.
Requested by him. I'm so pumped. I hope he comes back on the show soon, too, because he has a wealth of stories. I've seen him at events and speaking engagements, things like that. And he's a brilliant dude. So excited to do more with him, and I'm stoked he listens.
And me too. And I also loved Adam's hypothetical I forgot about in that clip, where he described going back to where like Doug was from in the Midwest, like farm country.
Yeah.
And then showing up and speaking in like a thick, specific Middle Eastern accent that he had to learn. And like just go, never mind the accent. Just give me all your fertilizer.
I mean, that's a rant that you'll never forget, so.
It's pretty good.
That's probably why he was able to recall it so well. All right, we have one more clip for everybody. Let's go back again to 2010 and check out Brian and Teresa.
Yeah, this one's Adam Carolla Show 384. The guest is Brian Posehn, not in this portion. He'll be joining in tomorrow's clip in the Carolla Classics feed. Make sure you subscribe so you can hear that. And this portion is just Teresa, Brian, and Adam. Again, one classic, original team in studio. Teresa's news. It's from August of 2010. Hope you guys enjoy.
And now, male escort to the stars, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Do you have some news for us?
I do.
Let's hear it.
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
Okay, this is a crazy story about Pee Wee Herman.
Mm-mm.
Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
He did an interview with Playboy, and he opened up about his 1991 arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke in more depth about it than he ever has. And he explains why he should have had the charges dropped. Now, after mm-hmm. being arrested in an adult movie theater, his attorneys convinced him to plead no contest because they wanted him to avoid a trial.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's saying that he never, ever would have been convicted, and here's why. They had experts from Masters and Johnson Institute.
Yeah, Mr. Bates and Johnson.
Okay, had they gone to trial?
You're Johnson.
They had a Johnson expert. I'm
worst
serious.
Law firm ever, by the way. Master Bates and Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, had they gone to trial, their expert from Masters and Johnson was going to testify that in 30 years of research on masturbation, the Institute had never found one person who masturbated with his or her non-dominant hand.
Mm.
Says Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, hold on a second. I could be an expert witness for the prosecution. Exhibit A, Carolla after having surgery on his left hand.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Had to make the switch. Did what I had to do.
I think probably they're talking about non-injured dominant hands.
Okay. All right.
Regardless, you're a warrior, dude.
Hold you on. Are.
You're regardless. Through. You're right.
Yeah.
Disregardless yeah. of that,
yeah.
you're both right. I'm right-handed, says Pee-wee. And the police report said I was jerking off with my left hand.
Uh-huh.
That would have been the end of the case right there. Proof it couldn't have been me.
Couldn't have been me? Or, look, you can use your bad hand for a fluff. You know what I mean? It's just not going to, you know, it's not what you go for. Like, I always used to say this, when I used to teach boxing, especially when I taught chicks sometimes, I'd say, well, what's your good hand? It's weird being 28 or 35 and going, I don't know. And you go, like, what hand do you write with? They go, well, I write with my right hand. And I go, okay, what hand do you hold the fork with? My left hand. And you go, oh. So you don't know what your strong hand is? And then I'd go, like, look, if I just called you a cunt right now, what hand would you punch me with? And they go, this hand. And I go, all right, that's your hand. Your good hand is the hand that you would punch someone with if they just backed over your foot with their horse or something. You know what I mean?
That's how you know.
That's how you know. So the hand you jack off with is your dominant hand. And true, but the officer could have just screwed that up in his report,
that's
right?
What I was thinking, too.
But still good enough to get you off, pardon the pun.
Well, that's the thing, because that's a dramatic moment in a trial that jurors fall for. Because
mm-hmm.
they get the guy in the stand and they go, you've been studying masturbation for how long? 30 years. And in those 30 years, have you ever known a person to masturbate with their non-dominant hand?
When they didn't have a ganglion cyst from repetitive stress or trauma removed from their left palm like Carolla did when he used to teach boxing.
That was what was wrong with your hand?
Yeah.
How long to heal?
Well, I've showed you my palm, have I not?
I don't think so.
Oh. It still hurts, by the way.
I mean, when you showed it to me the way a pimp shows it yeah. to his hoe.
Teresa, I fell for that years ago.
If you look at this palm, if you look yeah. at my right palm, it looks sort of
I
normal.
See you're going to have a long life.
Thank
with two
you.
Wives.
Ooh.
What?
At the same time? There's that. And then if you look at this palm, you see it it dents in, and then you see a long scar going this way and a long scar going that way. I had a huge cyst from holding focus pads and training guys for too long, and I never had insurance. So I had to live with this big, fat fucking cyst on my palm for like 10 years, and then eventually I got insurance and had it removed.
For a super healthy guy, you've had a couple of the strangest procedures.
Like what?
Well, the cyst removal, and then the no sweat operation.
Well, the cyst removal was just, that's just a pure repetitive stress situation, which you don't really realize. When you're a carpenter, you hit a lot of stuff with your palm.
Right.
You do a lot of like, come on, you're not driving in nails. You're just trying to get a bookshelf in place before you screw it off, and you whack it with your palm. You can't hit it with a hammer. It'll leave a dent.
Right.
So I've whacked a lot of stuff with my palm, and I've held those punching gloves for so many people for so many years that I just had this repetitive stress thing.
Should have got that palm nailer from my wife's dad earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy a palm nailer from... I bought a palm nailer from your father-in-law's store when you were, well, it's now been almost 20 years, so you were 10 years old.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your wife was 10.
Aww. Yeah. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Daddy, who's the angry man that keeps coming in and complaining about everything?
And then I'd never heard of the procedure where you can stop sweating on your head.
Well, they do have procedures where if you have sweaty palms or sweaty armpits or sweaty feet or even the sweaty head, you get this procedure done. And I had such a sweaty head that I couldn't stand being in show business with my sweaty head. Like, it's always light. Isn't it always hot whenever we do something like right now?
Of course, yeah.
It's always...
I wish I had that thing. I feel like I'm shiny.
There's a reason why... It's a horrible, by the way, it's just a horrible storm of sweat head. A, I had super sweaty head. B, you're always a little nervous, like you're in front of the camera, you're doing whatever. C, the lights are right above your head. It's like literally cooking your head. You can feel the heat. If you go to a show and you sit out in the audience, you don't feel it because you're in the shade, in other words.
Right.
It's freezing.
But when you go, and you do a show, you're out under the lights, you feel them hitting you like you're frying a warming tray. And then thirdly, most of the shit you do, they say, all right, when they start to film, they ring the bell, shut the air, because they can't hear the air buzzing away while they're filming. So the hot lights, the nerves, and the no air meets for the sweat head. Thank you.
And then how do they stop the sweat?
There's some like little gland thing that they go in through your rib cage, and they just like vibrate it, and it dries you up.
I will say, when Lynn and Alex, your wonderful publicists over there at LNA, when they threw me a bachelorette party, they had this guy come and just give everyone Botox. And since I was about to get married, the doctor said, let me put it under your armpits and then you won't sweat.
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, just not having to worry about, I'm not a big sweater under there anyway, but not having to worry at all about pitting.
You don't want to pit out
on
the biggest day of your life.
No.
My wife was there too. She was like the Jacob from Lost in this situation. All your
lives. Was at the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Yeah. She tilted back a few.
I was shocking. I got the Botox in the forehead because my forehead was always so goddamn sweaty. I mean, it literally would sting my eyes and roll down. When I used to be a carpenter, my forehead would sweat so much working that it would literally have to mop. It would sting your eyes, like the salty sweat when you're up on the roof in this weather. But Dr. Bruce, he got the Botox out and did my forehead once so it would stop sweating so much. Didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Pushed right through it. Mm-hmm.
So did you get adept at using your non-dominant hand when you had to? That was, you know...
I did what I had to do.
It was the only game in town.
I did what I had to do.
Tracy doesn't want to talk about it. It's like when you're a prisoner. They were like an ex-con if they like had prison sex.
Right.
Like,
let's talk to McCain about being at the Hanoi Hilton for 6 years. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's uncomfortable for me to even bring it up.
Yeah.
You usually...
This was the hand, no Hilton. So Pee-wee... Look, here's the whole thing about Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Do they not have trouble in... There's no crime in Dade County? There's no crime in Florida? What are you doing? What's the undercover whatever? Like, I understand. All right. Somebody says this. It drives me insane. Our society is so fucked up, and we're all such assholes. First off, a couple of things. We all act like we've never beat off. Like, it's this weird thing. It's like, you're beaten off? You got beaten off? You got beaten off? It's like, okay. It's something that most guys engage in. So let's
and girls.
And girls as well. Thank
I'd
you,
say almost all people.
Yeah.
Girls
really.
Too. But we beat off to you beating off, which is different. You don't beat off like, oh, I bet Corolla tugged it twice last night. Yeah.
It rarely crosses my mind. Yeah.
You'd be right.
Yeah. He was thinking of me beating off, be like a snail eating its tail. Pop. Where the hell's it go? No, here's the deal. We get so obsessed with this guy. Then we get obsessed with this act. We sort of lose sight of really what we need to focus on, which is, why did they have a bunch of undercover cops hanging around at this fucking rub and tug or this watch and tug place already? It's a bunch of single, harmless dudes going over there to beat off or watch something and then load up the spank bank and go home and beat off. But either way, what's with the resources? Go to a fucking shitty part of town and go hang out by crack house if you want to bust somebody. And, okay, have the guy over at the place, have him hang out at the Venus Affair there and see what he can get done. But wait till somebody stabs somebody or somebody tries to do a drug transaction. Don't bust a guy for beating off. Who the fuck cares? How much crime falls under the heading of who gives a shit what Pee Wee Herman does?
And I'll go, you, Steph, I don't care about anybody masturbating in a porn theater. That is why there is a porn theater.
Yes, he's not on one of those fucking spring-loaded horses going back and forth next year, kid, at the park.
In fact, I should give these guys kudos because that's the place. If you really want to masturbate in public, thank you for secluding yourselves.
Thank you for leaving the synagogue, the church, leaving the park, leaving the preschool, leaving the OR, and masturbating at the place that's made of cinder block where the other guys masturbate that doesn't have any windows, or if it does, there's foil up, which lets the world know you're beating off.
You know what's kind of a sweet part of the story? There's a wealthy philanthropist named Doris Duke, and following the scandal, he says she was really nice to him. She had always been nice to him, so after this went down, he called her, and according to his quote, said, "I'm in trouble." She said to come to her house in New Jersey. I said, Wait, let me tell you. I'm not just in trouble, I'm in trouble. They put me in the cottage Imelda Marcos had just vacated, and the staff did what they would do for any guest.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't it crazy how quaint this seems now? Like in the day of like TMZ, like this is like, oh, how cute. He was in this theater masturbating.
It had to be weird for the staff, like when it's like, tell Mr. Rubens it's time for dinner. Paul! We're out here. You don't know. Don't come out. You don't have to come out. No, we're not coming in. Just giving you a little 20-minute heads up. Now, whatever it is you're doing, and we don't care. We don't judge. We're not here to judge. But dinner will be ready in 20. If you could go ahead and wash your hands very, very, very well. We'll have special utensils provided for you that will then be put in a autoclave.
Good.
Thank you.
Ow.
And again, whatever it is that you're doing right now, I don't want to know.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm not judging it.
My mother used to do exotic dancing, and I was no issue at our household. It's your personal business. But perhaps I've gone on too long. Dinner's now going to be in 14 minutes.
Come back in 10 minutes. And then again in 5.
Again, what you do in the privacy of your own bungalow is nobody's business but your own. It's between you and your maker. If in fact you're a religious person, I'm an atheist, as I've mentioned, so I cannot judge. There'll be an ambrosia salad. You know what?
Isn't dinner getting cold?
The character you just created for Doris Duke was so rich. I feel like I know her.
Yes, thank you.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You might associate stoners with being kind of smelly and unkempt and maybe not that sexy.
Yeah.
But now I've got a list, the 10 sexiest celebrity stoners.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really sexy.
Uh-huh.
And some of them you don't think of as stoners.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, Charlize Theron. There was that whole apple bong incident a while back.
Yeah.
And
Is that what you call Stephen Jenkins? Mm-hmm. That's not nice to read. Mm-hmm.
This list is from Nerve.com. Mm-hmm. I guess there were pictures all over the internet of her with an apple bong. And
Smoking out. Yeah.
And she went green with it as opposed to an acrylic or a Pyrex store-bought bong.
Mm-hmm.
She was environmentally conscious and high.
With the apple bong?
Apple bong. Do you know how to make? I feel like Mike might know how to make one of those.
Yeah, it's easy. You just dig out the core.
Mm-hmm.
And then stick a big pen, just a regular pen like this.
Mm-hmm.
Stick it through the middle so the two holes meet.
Mm-hmm.
So at the top where you got the stem, that's where you put your bud.
Yeah.
And the best part about that pipe is if you're ever walking down the street and you're smoking.
Do you use a carb on an apple bong?
No.
Okay.
You can eat the evidence. That's the best part.
But let me ask you about Charlize, okay? If you are using an apple bong, you're not a weekend warrior. This isn't your first time at the bong rodeo.
Yeah, that's like, we can't find a pipe. Oh, get me an empty toilet paper roll and I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Dawson could make a bong out of a toaster or snot rocket.
I am the MacGyver of weed.
Or pigeon shit. Sure. Like, there's nothing he couldn't make a bong out of. Here's a sombrero. He'd hand it back to you with a bong, with a big load of weed in it, 10 seconds later. Like that'd be a good game show. What couldn't Dawson make a bong out of?
Not surprisingly, Sarah Silverman has made the list.
MacGyver?
Sexy. So sad. Of sexy. Yeah, that is sad. Of sexy weed smokers.
Oh, yeah.
To a Comic-Con audience in 2008, make it a treat, urging them not to take the fun out of weed by smoking it every day. That's good advice.
Right. She eats it every day.
You might have thought. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you smoke it every day, it loses its special. It's not a treat then.
Yeah. Right? No, it's like anything. It becomes habitual. It's part of your life. Yeah.
Natalie Portman makes the list.
Really?
She says, I didn't touch pot till I was in my 20s. She told that to Marie Claire. She said, she downplayed it, but smoking pot in your 20s is still smoking pot.
She didn't touch pot. Well, it's weird because there's the pot smokers and then there's the pots, the people who've tried pot and the people that smoke pot. There's not a human being who hasn't tried pot. The real question is who smokes it on a regular basis, and you can't lump the two in together.
Right. She's not a Brad Pitt, okay? Now, he, of course, is on this list.
Yeah.
He's a recognized stoner, according to Nerve.com, known to blaze up after a long day of shooting. He's also been spotted wearing several different pot leaf t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And, there you have it.
He was in True Romance early in his career doing the smoking out of the honey bear. You know, you squeeze the honey out of the bear. His character is smoking out of the honey bear.
Yeah, very convincing Hesher in that movie. Very funny scenes in that movie.
Kirsten Dunst told Daily Mail in 2007, I think America's view on weed is ridiculous. I mean, are you kidding me? If everyone smoked weed, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, it'd be a better place. People wouldn't be able to find their cars in the parking lot of the Costco. They'd be rolling out like a 55-gallon drum full of cashews looking for their SUV and pissed off about it. I mean, a slightly dumber place, but it would be a better place. No doubt about it.
Lately, I've taken to taking a picture of the number where my car is because I know I'm going to lose my car with my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find, though? I had that thought, too. I had a meeting over at Fox, and I was going to do that thing where, I'm going to lose my place and you're in that endless underground parking lot.
Yes.
You don't know where you are, and they do that stupid thing where it's like some of these places are retarded. Like instead of a numerical thing, they have a color system thing where like you're on the green floor, you're on the red floor, you're on the purple floor, as if there's an order to that. So like someone goes, well, everyone knows green comes before yellow, which comes before orange. It doesn't mean anything, the color part. Just put a big fat fucking number. And by the way, every elevator on that floor should have the number written on the door part of it. Oh, wait a minute. When the door opens, the door moves, right? Yeah, it's not good. All right, just above it, it should be written on the wall, and it should say, hey, stupid. And then it should have an arrow pointing at it so you know exactly what it is. That's how you would remember. I found in life, when you do that thing where you go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my iPhone out and I'm going to take a picture of parking structure C, parking number 31. So and then by the time you go through that process, you've already sort of committed it. It's when you get fucked over. It's when you just go, fuck it, I'm in a hurry, I'm on the fly. So there's a catch 22 where if you take the time to take the camera out, you're already done.
It's true, because now you've looked at the number long enough to take a photo of it. So you've, instead of, like, you kid yourself that, oh, I'm going to remember that that corner had a chip of yellow paint on it. I got to go.
Yeah.
And then
me and Jimmy went to the Rose Bowl for the Rose Bowl. 100,000 people parked on a golf course, stayed there, parked during the day, went into the stadium, drank, 28 beers. Had no idea. And by the way, when you're driving along a golf course, it's not sectioned off. There's no nothing's written down. There's no anything. And then left after it was dark because the Rose Bowl, ends. It'll be dark outside. And it was like misty, rainy, and we had a nice buzz on. And the Rose Bowl's perfectly round. And we walked around it once to find our gate. It's like the kind of thing where we park. You always park wherever your gate is. You fucking park on one side of the Rose Bowl, and then you come up and you go, we're in gate 29. Where are we? Oh, this is minus 136. Jesus Christ. And you start to the right, and it starts getting lower, so you start going the other direction. You go all the way around the fucking thing, and then you go up the stairs, and the whole thing. By the time you're done, it's like someone just put a bag over your head and fucking, you feel like a hostage in the back of a van, and some Shiite terrorists have taken you to their safe house. We walked out of that place, we're like, I have no idea where you're, by the way, where Jimmy's black car was. And it was dark outside. We literally just had to wait till every other fucknut pulled out of the place until we were able to find Jimmy's car, which was like in a sand bunker.
Made that same journey many times. You don't realize that on the golf course, you're like, oh, I'm parked near a sand trap and a tree. And it's like,
right,
dude, there's 45 sand traps and 125 trees.
And you're buzzed. And you're walking around a thing that is a 2-mile radius circle. And you randomly go in one side, but you never know how far around it you walk before you stop and head in. Good times.
Yeah, good times. I used to really rely on my ability to memorize things, but mm-hmm. having a kid is kind of like a chronic sleep deprivation thing.
Yeah.
And your short-term memory is kind of screwed up.
Yes.
Cognition is greatly diminished. It wasn't that great before.
Yes.
But, it's like I'm accumulating this sleep debt and I get stupider.
Oh, I've said it one goddamn million times. Sleep deprivation is really you on 7 beers.
That's how I feel every day. I'm like a buzz right now from Buster waking up at 2, 4, and 6.
And the first thing it does is that recall. Like you go, someone goes, what's your address? Or what street do you live on? Or what's your dad's name? Or something. You go, it sounds like Tim. I can't remember. What the fuck? It's the same as Jimmy's dad's the same name. Jim. Yeah. You feel like a fucking retard.
Yeah, it's the most basic things. Like I couldn't say ass over fist on the last show.
Yeah, that's why I want some kind of award or at least an induction into the Radio Hall of Fame for doing Stern Show 50 times coming off of Loveline at midnight and starting his show at 3 a.m. back at Westwood One in Culver City and doing a 5-hour radio show. I was going to be completely swimming in my own juice by the time we got to, hour number 4. I couldn't fucking think, Howard, I agree with the black chick with the titties is in the next room. What the hell's
her
name?
What do you call her?
What is her name again?
It's
like a bird. It sounds like a bird.
Dove.
Lark.
Sparrow. Sparrow.
Yeah. You think of a joke, but you realize you can't come up with Ronald Reagan's name.
Right, and it's going to be hilarious if you just get that
like,
one name out.
Oh, he's like the cowboy. I rode the horse. He said, read my lips. I mean, no, he didn't. He
and
said,
his wife was like petite, and she spent a lot of money on decorating.
Bring this wall down. What was his thing? Oh, shit.
Win one for the Gipper guy.
Yeah, that dude with the pomade. He was the governor of California.
Is this joke? I lost my timing with this joke, or do
it's been 20 minutes. Like, fuck, my brain doesn't work.
Robin Quivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Reagan Quivers. Mm-hmm. Is that what you just said?
I know.
Well, that's a funnier version of what I just said.
Must be nice.
That would have been funny.
The difference between us is we beat ourselves up about it.
Yeah.
We should talk to Donnie, because Donnie has a way of somehow skirting the part where he beats himself up.
God, I'd like to skirt
that. It's nice. We were in we went to Pebble Beach, and Donnie went on a coffee run when I went and got the car in the morning.
Yeah.
And I said, give me a large coffee. And Donnie came back, and he handed me a small coffee. And I said, small coffee? And he said, yeah. And I said, I ordered a large coffee. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, Donnie, have you ever... We go out to coffee all the time. Ever hear me order a small coffee? And he went, no. And I realized, wow, like a dog on a rug. No problemo.
Nothing.
They're completely fine with it.
Incredibly high level of tolerance of his own mistakes.
Not an ounce of like, oh, fuck, or what was I going to do? Or, oh, let me go back and do it.
Yeah. Not a lot of kicking himself.
Nah, couldn't see it from where I was sitting. But Donnie, that's a great thing you got going.
Yeah, well, after drinking that much wine with you all weekend and staying up late, and you know, I got to deal with all this
staying
audio gear, and the video gear.
You slept for 10 hours.
Yeah, I did. I did have some sleep.
All right,
a little weed on top.
Now, why grab the small?
Because you already had a cup in the hotel room, and then we're going to Pebble Beach where there's like a ton of food and...
I have this argument with my wife all the time. Like, let's just say outside. Outside, I said small. I said large, but let's just say...
I agree. I'm not arguing with
crazy,
that.
Let's just say on a crazy whim, I said small, and then you showed up with a large. What do you think I'm going to do, throw it in your face? Like, to me, all right.
You would have had a comment like, I said small. We're going to waste all this coffee. Why...
Well, but here's the thing about me. The prior 2 or 3 days, I walked out of there with a large, right? Yeah. I never ordered a large.
Might have been a medium.
I never ordered a small, to the best of your knowledge.
You drink a lot of coffee, yes.
All right. I'm saying, just get the large. Like, what would it harm? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. But you beat yourself up pretty good about it.
Why? Well, I just walk away and chuckle, really.
Yes.
Yeah. I have not had that response to any mistake I've ever made in life, no matter how small.
No, if I said...
There's no chuckling.
Hey, Teresa, give me coffee and make it a large. And you walk away and handed me a small, and I said, small? I ordered a large.
That's 3 therapy sessions about why I can't listen, why I don't do things well, why I'm incompetent, and why I do everything wrong, and why people don't like me.
I would also argue it's why your batting average is a little bit better in the small and large department than Donnie's, because the walk away chuckling doesn't get you the large next day.
Well, the thing about beating yourself up is you do go that extra mile to not fuck up in the same way next time, because it hurts so bad the first time.
You beat yourself up. You got to walk away and chuckle more.
Let me put it this way.
What are you going to do?
I should. And the this is not my quote, but the biological purpose of pain is to prevent the reoccurrence of stupidity. So if you feel no pain, the stupidity reoccurs. If I put my hand in a fire, a flame, and it doesn't hurt, I'll just do it again.
So if you walk away chuckling, you'll do it again.
That didn't hurt.
All right.
That's why you should throw the coffee in for a scald. You think he'd do it another time after that?
I mean,
last time you got a small.
I would argue that it would probably prevent that, yes.
Yeah, pain is a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just feel pain for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
But getting back to sexy stoners.
Uh-huh.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You know who that dude is? You know.
Sure.
Of course, Jogo.
Yeah, 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Third Rock from
Inception.
The Sun.
Did you guys see Inception?
I saw Inception.
Did you like it?
But he was in Third Rock from the Sun,
yes,
right?
He was. He's gone on to be quite an adult actor.
500 Days of Summer?
Yes, he's in 500 Days of Summer. He was in
the best movie
last summer, G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
No, 500 Days of Summer, by the way, overrated.
It is, but he was like good, and he was good in Inception.
Inception was amazing.
It's a great movie.
He's made quite a career for himself. And let me just say this. From all the people, from him to Johnny Depp to other folks, that now Jason Bateman and guys like that who are doing kind of schmaltzy, you know, sitcom-y or cop-drama-y things in the 80s or 90s or whatever, they've gone on to have film careers. To all the assholes that said, oh, I can't stop being a typecast. No, it's not that. Or if it is, they've gotten over it. Somehow, they've gotten it over. You're listening, Bob Denver? No, but I'm just... I'm just saying, if you're one of these guys that says, well, I was in 90210, so that's why I can't work anymore.
I get typecast.
Talent almost always wins out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, these guys, I mean, fucking Johnny Depp was in 21 Jump Street.
He's had arguably the hardest role of any, like, megastar of going from, like, you know, teen idol, heartthrob, lightweight roles to being a respected actor.
Yeah, or look at someone like Julianne Moore, who was on a soap opera.
Yeah.
And managed just to be one of the best working actresses today.
You listening, Ian Ziering?
I don't think he is.
Like, I could never come up with the name Ian Ziering right now. It's
you're
just,
too tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I miss, by the way, we'll never get to experience again, is David Arquette busting down our door.
That was fun.
By nature of it being a podcast, you know what I'm saying? Like, he would bust down the door occasionally on the live show.
Yeah. I mean, please stop me if I'm wrong. It happened more than once where he actually just came into the studio after I was talking smack about
it. Yeah, once on Loveline in the middle of a show, and then once on the morning show, we're talking about Alexis Arquette, I think.
Yeah.
Came and told us to shut up.
Defend his sister.
Or brother, or whatever it was. Toaster. I don't know what it is.
You were being so mean to her.
She was such a cunt.
She had a little bit
show.
Of a chip on her shoulder.
Chip, fucking size of Paul Bunyan's ox.
David Arquette
shoulder.
And you know what? He's unpredictable, and that's I associate that quality with somebody who's truly funny.
David Arquette?
Yeah.
David Arquette is I'll tell you the thing about Arquette. Good soul. He's just a good guy. It's like he's got a good vibe. There's a couple of guys out there that have that, you know, good vibe, and guys who don't have that good vibe. And Arquette's a good vibe. I said, like, Robert Downey Jr. There's a handful of guys that just have a really... Joel McHale has a great vibe. Yeah. Zach Levi. There's some guys who are just like really cool vibes, and other guys, pains in the ass.
Getting back to Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
yeah.
He told Details Magazine, when I was in high school, I loved smoking weed. I loved it, but I cut myself to once a month. That was my rule.
Once a month?
Yeah, so again, he wanted to continue to enjoy it, it sounds like. He didn't want to become a pothead.
I'd like to talk to Dr. Drew and see how much of that once a month business he buys from Levitt.
Does that really mean once a week?
There's nobody who does anything who says they do it less than what they actually do or do more than what says they do it more. You know what I mean? If somebody says I do something once in a while, they mean about four or five times a week. And if they say, you know, I smoke pot once a month, you can probably swap out month for weekend, right? Which is fine. I'm not judging. Just say you do. You know why I don't buy once a month?
Why?
Once a month to me is a liar. If you tell me I smoke pot on occasion, like just a rare occasion, like if I'm on vacation, we're hanging out, we're in the Bahamas, we're at the beach.
Going to see Sex in the City 2.
Going to see Sex in the City 2, and I eat myself one of those Listerine postage stamps and freak out. If you say that, I buy it. If you say I smoke pot every day, I buy it. If you say I smoke pot about every weekend, I buy it. Once a month is a no man's land where you're not really hanging out with Dawson and you ain't hanging around with Brian.
You're caught between Dawson and Brian.
You're also caught in a lie.
Yeah.
And the moon in New York City.
Right.
Because it's bullshit. If you here's the thing. I don't really smoke weed anymore. So for me, I don't smoke weed once a month. I will, on rare occasion, I'm not judging. I drink red wine.
Right.
But I will smoke weed, but it's not once a month. If you smoke it once a month and you say once a month, you don't even, by the way, for people who really smoke weed once a month, they don't know they smoke weed once a month. They would tell you a couple times a year.
Yeah, like if someone has it and you get a wild hair.
Yeah.
You don't really, if you don't acquire it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's crazy, but it's true. I'm telling you.
Are they going to remake this movie?
Wow.
I feel like I heard that.
Alexis Arquette will star in it.
I think they are remaking it with Russell Brand.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And Alexis Arquette in the Liza Minnelli role.
Okay, here's a shocking one, and I'll wrap up after this. Stephen Colbert as a sexy stoner. In a live speaking engagement in 2006 and in San Francisco, he mentioned that smoking weed in high school influenced his comedy.
Also, you have to consider the source and the environment. It's like when a politician gets up in front of a bunch of guys who are in a labor union, they're pro-labor. and when a comedian's in San Francisco and there's a lot of herb going around and you know you're going to get a fuck yeah out of everyone, then you're a weed smoker. If you're talking to the Young Republicans Committee and you're in Arkansas, then it's not so much. You know what I'm saying? So you have that too. But either way, who gives a fuck? Smoke up. You want to smoke up. You don't want to smoke up. Don't smoke up. We should stop enforcing everything and stop fucking talking about it once and for all. Let's just move on with our lives.
Yeah, that helps me to round out this list because poor Kamora Lee Simmons got busted in 2004 for possession. She had a couple grams of weed in her Benz.
Well, they should lock her up and throw away the key.
Just in her case.
Yes. Yes.
That's the news.
Mm. She looks like a female impersonator, doesn't she?
More of Teresa's news coming up. If you don't listen,
that's the new thing. Remember when Lisa Lampanelli was here and she said there's like the five ways you can roast women?
Mm-hmm.
It's like fat, big vagina, slutty.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing?
The sleeps around, yeah, the slutty thing.
Slutty, big vagina, old, ugly, old, fat.
Yeah.
And I realized there's also tranny.
Right.
And you know how I learned that?
Mm.
Because somebody took the liberty of posting on my blog that I look like a tranny.
Really?
I had no idea. I'd never even considered. I mean, I considered a lot of flaws, but I never that one.
Wait, was it a tranny? Hot? Was it a hot tranny?
Well, they had made their name. They made their name Tranny Teresa. It was like a specific person that spends a lot of time on the internet attacking me in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't thought of that, and I realized, oh yeah, that's another one because you on that on the Hoff roast that does come up where somebody looks like a tranny. That is another way of roasting a woman.
Well, I'm going to have Donnie settle their hash by taking their coffee order later on in the day. And not only the only thing worse than getting the wrong size is having the guy got it for you walk away laughing.
When I was walking away laughing, I was laughing at how you can get so frustrated. He even walked away and like he looked at me, Teresa, and said, "You know what? I'm going back to get a large." He was so insulted. That's what I'm laughing at, his frustration.
Well, you brought me a Dixie Riddle cup filled with a coffee latte, and I wanted a cup.
You do like your coffee.
I do, but...
And I would err on the side of
large. Donnie would have no way of knowing that.
You've only known been friends, close friends, for
well,
30 years.
Well, went to the
years.
Same place the first 2 days before that.
Well, what about Twain drinking pots of coffee in the beginning?
Well, that's my whole point. Why not get the large? That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right. Here's the other thing, too.
I feel like there's been a lot of healing.
You don't have to be sorry. But you know the part where somebody fucks up, and then right after they fucked up, they kind of go like, yeah, I know. And you think to yourself, well, then did you do it on purpose? Or
I needed to kick yourself a little tiny bit.
Now, listen, you had a cup of coffee in the room. We're jumping in the car to go driving. You want, like, a big, tall coffee?
I ordered a large.
You did. You're right.
All right.
Correct.
All sorry. Right. You knew it on some level. You just decided I didn't need it. I think that's what happened.
Do you think he has some... Is there any unconscious maneuvering going on in the mind of Donnie?
Yeah, everything he does is unconscious.
Rather than
I meant subconscious.
Oh, subconscious.
I'm sorry.
No, there was an element... Yes, there's an element...
He doesn't want you to have too much caffeine?
There's an element of, I'm ordering a small, you drank enough.
Right.
You're going to order
right.
a small... You're getting a small tea. You've had enough.
It's
I need you pulled over to take a piss.
Right.
Listen, it's like you're... 30 seconds on the microwave. It's 33. I'll take two small coffees.
Yeah. It's a big time saver. Right.
Saved the time.
Right. Right.
And you have to carry the larger one and pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't right. take the time to say I have a small and a large coffee. I mean, see that? That took forever.
I think they're both one small, but...
Listen, you're on a small roll.
Right. Don't break it by putting a large in there and confusing everybody.
No, listen, if Donnie was a waiter, he'd do that thing that it's my favorite waiter move, where you go, you order a sandwich with no mayo, Brian, and then you order a sandwich too, and I'll jump in.
I'll take, let me get a turkey sandwich, no mayo, please.
All right, and then the lady will be having?
Just a BLT.
With no mayo?
What the fuck do I have to do with this mayonnaise?
I was on a mayo roll. That's the point.
Why do you assume that just because we're dining together...
I was thinking about mayo.
...that we share
I thought
a
of the word mayo.
Of mayo.
The word mayo came into my head. He said mayo. That's how it works.
They do that, don't they?
They get on a roll. Yeah. Yeah. I always laugh thinking, yeah, that's where we met.
At the no mayo...
clinic.
Com.
All right, Weezer, I bust your chops because I love
condiment
you.
Condiment com?
No, I'm just saying, look, it's a tea. You should take a page, actually a rolling paper, out of Donnie's book.
I should.
And Donnie, take a page out of T's book. Because that's where the truth lies.
Somewhere in between.
Walking away laughing doesn't really get you anywhere. And committing suicide over fucking up a coffee order doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, trying too hard and trying not hard enough.
A little in between.
Yeah.
All right, where were we? I think Brian Posehn is here.
It's hard to miss him out there in the green room.
He's a lot of man. I can't believe you haven't had sex with him.
Well, there is Steve Agee.
Ooh.
Who played his gay lover on the Sarah Silverman show.
Cruel Classics is brought to you by Live by Live. And did you know that all of Podcast One shows stream 24/7 at livebylive.com and on the Live by Live app? With the Live by Live app, you'll get podcasts, the latest breaking news, and the best handcrafted music stations anywhere you go, all for only $3.99 per month.
And we haven't even mentioned the live events yet. Live by Live streams the biggest events on the planet, including iHeartRadio's Jingle Ball, coming up December 3rd. Get it all with a free 7-day trial. Go to livexlive.com/classics.
And that's Teresa and Brian once again hanging out back in August of 2010. And Teresa doing a little bit of news. Brian Posehn's portion will be played tomorrow on Sunday's Classics. So make sure to subscribe to the Cruel Classics feed to get our Sunday episode every week. And that will do it for today's Corolla Classics. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on. We appreciate all of you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.